Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yes. I've spent the last 25 years working with people coming out of jail and street gangs. And you know, the one thing I get asked the most, here it is. Do the people you work with ever really change? That's a fascinating question. The people posing it are, on some level, asking, is your work based on pity or potential? And that's worth looking at. Is the work that we do stemming from a sense of feeling sorry for poor, unfortunate souls? Or does it originate with the justified expectation that, in fact, even the most dysfunctional lives can turn around? Now, before we answer that question, let's hit pause and take a look at the folks who ask me this question, because there's something pretty strange going on. 9 times out of 10, I get asked this question by people who, last January, went out and signed up for a gym membership, and they used it intensely for the first week. I mean, they really went at it. They blasted their quads, and they got the deep burn from all the reps they did. It hurt good. And then, understandably, they went a little bit less during the second week. Things got busy. During week 3, they made it to the gym once. And now it's mid-April, and they haven't been to the gym in months. I get asked this by people who've needed to lose a few pounds for as long as they can remember, and who have at least one piece of exercise equipment in their home that's being used as a coat rack. I get asked this by people who've meant to pay down their credit cards for years, who were going to quit smoking a decade ago, and who have been planning to work on their MBA online since the late 90s. In other words, I get asked this by people who have run screaming from having to make the smallest permanent change in their lives, who have spent their days procrastinating, avoiding, and ignoring the need for change. The truth is, I've seen more radically transformed lives than most people ever will. Crack addicts getting PhDs and working as pastors, gang members becoming experts in children's ministry, prostitutes studying for their master's degree, and in turn serving as social workers. But the flip side is that I've seen more serious backsliding than most will as well. People in recovery with years of sobriety throwing it away for no good reason. Faithful Christians with a real love for Jesus back in prison because they lost their temper. People getting tired and just giving up. The bottom line is that in the end, real permanent changes in lifestyle are rare, truly rare. And failing to recognize that fact is what trips most people up and keeps them from change in their own lives. When we think about change, we usually ask the wrong questions. Do these people really change? Is, in fact, a terrible question. Of course they do. The critical question, and the one we almost never ask, is this: where does that change come from? Most people don't need to think about that. They immediately tell you that changes come from determination and willpower, or as we say in the South, gumption. But this belief is false and, most importantly, misleading. Willpower and determination have, in fact, rarely ever solved any problem on their own. They are often part of the recipe for successful change, but on their own, they're nothing more than a gas tank with no wheels. Let's ask another important question. Does successful change involve little failures and backslides along the way, or is it a straight upward climb? Again, most people, and especially most Christians, would, without thinking, say, no, if you want to change something, you just grit your teeth and change it. In fact, many Christians would be offended by the idea that successful change would involve slips and slides along the way. Yet, here is the witness of Scripture. We all stumble in many ways. James 3:2. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. 1 Timothy 1:15. What the Bible is saying is that you and I will slip and slide, fumble and stumble, make mistakes, need mercy to get where we're going, and should never deceive ourselves about that. Ironically, most Christians would purport to believe exactly that and hold it as one of the central truths of their lives. But when it comes to thinking about making lifestyle changes, this correct theological understanding is nowhere to be found. Here's why this is important. You will encounter a certain degree of failure and backsliding as you seek to make changes in your life. Now, if you expect to meet with some failure on your way to success, you will plan for it and learn from it. If you expect to succeed, and to do so consistently, on sheer willpower alone, then you will fail, and you'll find yourself wallowing in guilt. And guilt kills. Guilt weakens us and drives us further from God because we feel so unworthy. Because we're avoiding God, we're not trying to get any strength from Him, and suddenly we're trying to overcome failure in our own strength. Of course, as soon as that strength runs out, and it will, well, it's all over. We can make this kind of mistake over and over, and yet still come away with a thought, I just need to be more focused and use more willpower. It's almost like the enemy spends an incredible amount of time and energy trying to tell us exactly that. Whenever the phrase, I should, escapes your lips, it's time to be careful. I should be in better shape. I should call my mother more often. I should read my Bible more. On and on. This is all based on a false assumption that we are basically awesome, all-powerful beings, and if we can just get in touch with that reality, then we can solve anything. We can get lost in that world of shoulding ourselves. We can get lost there because, in fact, we are not all-powerful beings. You are, as I am, a mess and a work in progress, just like the rest of us. Manage your expectations accordingly, and you'll be able to greet your successes for the quiet little miracles they are. Humble yourself in your estimation of your abilities, and you will find yourself praying the first real, honest, authentic prayer in your life. God, I need you.